I know you will go read source material to find out, is it really this dumb?
I mean, yes, I do that too. Sometimes I need, why do you think I'm called the czar of source material? I have to read it. Does it suck this much in the source, or is it just a bad adaptation?
Turns out a lot of isekai
are just trash. They're just bad. I should have put Isekai's smartphone in here. Honestly. Truly S tier anime right there.
Now that would
put him down. Put him down now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Anime Club After Dark, the podcast that delves into all things anime, manga, and otaku culture related. I'm your host, Alex, but you can call me Senpai. And joining me tonight, I have our czar of source material, John.
So there's a song going through my head right now.
Is it the OP for Mashle Season 2?
No. I don't know if anyone else remembers this song, but it's Call on Me by Eric Prydz.
Yeah. Oh, Eric Prydz.
No. Call on me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know why that just started playing in my head. It just did.
I don't know that one.
Name the song name the song that was used to sample that song. The song Valerie. It's a really good song. You should listen to it.
All I know is I remember watching the music video because it had like, it was like an 80s aesthetic to it. Like everyone was in those 80s like leotards.
Yes.
And then there was a lot of pelvic thrusting involved in the music video for some reason.
I mean, are you complaining?
What's your daughter doing now?
Oh, your cat is trying to make a cameo appearance.
She loves being loud whenever I have to do something and record. And whenever I'm done recording, she will just be silent. Just like not bother me at all.
Just innocent little babby.
It's her cat instincts coming into play.
Orange cat behavior.
She is half orange cat. So.
Yeah, there you go. See, it makes sense. It makes sense. We also have our isekai connoisseur, Shinoda.
Hello, hello.
It's better than what you had there originally.
yeah.
But anyway, speaking of isekai, that is what we are here to do tonight. So all four of us on the podcast, even though Natai couldn't be here, we have gotten together a list of our top five, or in Natai's case, top three, isekai, our own personal list. And we're going to rank them in reference to each other tonight, as we have done in our previous rankings. So besides myself, I'm the only one who knows what everyone has chosen. I will say,
I
will say, in comparison to our other rankings that we've done, there is a significantly larger amount of overlap this time.
So I made this comment when I was looking through, I was on Mal, and I was like, all right, look at everything isekai tag. And I'm like, wow, there are quite literally only a handful of good isekai.
There really
like
is.
In the 380 plus tags, I was like, there is maybe 10 that I would say are good. And then there's 370 that are just awful. Bad and awful.
It's almost like a bunch of bad ones come out every season that Shinoda has to watch.
And it's unfortunate because it's like, it's supposed to be isekai trash. You know, like that's the meme, right? It's isekai trash. But it's like, oh, it's not just the meme. It's the truth.
Yeah. Which eventually we will have something in regards to that on our merch store. So be on the lookout for that. So I'm going to go ahead and put this up. And here we go. Brace yourselves for this shit fest.
I made a prediction. So you said there was five crossovers, and at least we shared one. And I was like, okay, I know the one. I know it's Mushoku Tensei.
Yeah, right? All four of us have on our list.
I guarantee that Konosuba and ReZero are going to be crossovers for you guys.
Wrong. ReZero was only on one person's list.
Wow.
And
it was in Natai. I knew it!
I'd also like to point out, Natai only had three things on his list. He had Mushoku Tensei, Konosuba, and ReZero, and then he had a little addendum underneath that said, all the rest are shit.
I love him.
So really, it's only his top three instead of his top five that we're rating. But
So I had an honorable mention.
Go with the honorable mention first.
So I had more than five. I was like, could we at least do seven? Because there's seven that I actually do want to rank. But I was like, since we're only doing five, fine, whatever. But my honorable mention was Zero No Tsukaima, The Familiar of Zero. Mm-hmm. Now, this was the very first isekai. Technically, yeah, it was the very first isekai anime I've ever watched. Okay. And it's also one of the earlier, like, animes I watched. Like, I believe before I watched Zero No Tsukaima, I watched, like, Rizomine and Shakugan no Shana. And this is where I fell in love with Rie Kugimiya as a voice actress. But
the Tsundere Queen.
The reason why, like, Zero No Tsukaima was, like, my first isekai anime and also one of my earlier animes. But I also really loved the opening song. I Say Yes by Ichigo is such a banger freaking song. I listened to that song. It was the first anime OP I ever downloaded. So I was like, you know, shout out to this anime that spawned, for me, is one of like the origins of like anime at all. Like,
Anime other Club After Dark does not support anime music piracy.
No, of course not. No, I definitely didn't do any of that.
Did you have any other honorable mentions besides that one?
I was going to say Inuyasha.
What?
I was going to say Inuyasha.
Well, it's a funny thing you mentioned that because I put it on my list.
Thank God someone. Because I wasn't sure if you guys would put it on there. Because I'm like, yeah, that's technically an isekai. Because, you know, she goes into a well and goes to a different... she goes to a different time period, right? But it's like it's a different world anyway. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I mean, and there's kind of magic, so...
But the thing about Inuyasha was like, if you want to get real technical about it, like, I watched Inuyasha... And that was my first, like, isekai, technically speaking. But I didn't know Inuyasha was anime until afterwards.
Okay. Well, I have it on the list, but it's probably going to be the last thing we do since I saved all the ones that only appeared once on everyone's list for the end. Right. So since we have Mushoku Tensei on all four of our lists, let's do that one first.
All right, S-tier anime.
Moving on.
What needs to be talked about? Everyone calls Mushoku Tensei peak anime. Every season it comes out, like every core that comes out or whatever, every release, it's like peak anime is back. And it's like, it's true. It's really good. I've really been enjoying the anime, the music, the art, the animation. Like, I remember when, is it Studio Bind, right?
Yeah, Studio Bind is the one that's
Yeah, it's like, it's White Fox and Egg Firm, I believe, right?
Yeah, the it's combination of both that are working on it.
But it's like the animators from White Fox and it's the whoever else from Egg Firm. I don't know what production leads they are there, but I was concerned because I was like, ooh, White Fox, like they're not that known for great animation. And it's not like there's a lot of action scenes in Mushoku Tensei, but there's, you know, there's a couple of action scenes, but they've all been animated really well. Yeah. Sugita is killing it as Rudy. I love listening to his voice as older Rudy. I just love Sugita. The voice acting is on point. Sophie Best Girl, and y'all don't even know why Sophie is Best Girl yet.
Hey, I'm getting there. I'm slowly getting on that train, though.
It's going to take another like season and a half for me to be able to finally talk about why Sophie has always been Best Girl. But,
oh my gosh, what are you doing?
So I love how
cat is just derailing all of our recordings now.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's part of the podcast now. She's part of the podcast. Anyways, I say on top of all that, I especially love the character arcs in Mushoku Tensei. Seeing the growth Rudy has gone through, as well as all the other side characters as well, seeing them evolve and change over time for the better or worse, it's been really cool and fun to watch. And like the attention to detail, the amount of care and love that goes to this anime, it's beyond wonderful.
I agree. I just watching Rudy as a character is fun to me. Like, I love watching this redemption arc for him. Like, when you start the show, he's this absolutely shitty human being who has no societal value. He dies, and then it's like, now he has a second chance.
Yeah. He was the type of weeb we used to make fun of.
Yeah, and the difference in Mushoku Tensei versus a lot of other isekai, which has that kind of a setup, is it's actually a struggle for him to be a better person. He doesn't have, like, he's not starting out as like the OP god character. He doesn't have, you know, immediately a bunch of people just around him that he can rely on. He actually has to learn how to be a good person in this new world. And that's what I like watching.
Yeah, and then, you know, when the story sets him up and it's like he's taking two steps forward, but he takes three steps back. And it's just like, you know, it's so easy for him to fall back into his old ways, but he still takes those steps forward, which is like, it's an admirable thing to watch. Because it's like at every given moment that he thinks he's on top, then he gets knocked down, but then he keeps going forward. It's really good. Yeah.
Which, as fun as it is to watch like the OPMC trope and them always succeed and be like, oh, yeah, it's also fun watching a character that is fallible and does fall back on his old ways, learn how to like become better.
He makes mistakes and he keeps on trying and he keeps on moving forward. He's human. And honestly, that's
makes
what,
it more.
What else could be better?
Makes it more relatable because like if. Realistically, if you were put in that situation, as good as you might be, you'd probably fail occasionally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, life is a bunch of experiences of failure and learning from your mistakes. And
exactly. Which is kind of the theme of Mushoku Tensei.
Yeah.
It quite learning literally be is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because it doesn't yada yada over the like, because, you know, there's a lot of isekai where it starts off with, well, I'm going to lead a different life. And then like, it just works out for them. Yeah. And in Rudy's case, it's like, some things work out, some things don't. And that's the beauty of it.
And some of it is through trial and error.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Mushoku Tensei. It's like, it's what a super serious dramatic isekai should be, in my opinion. On the other hand, you have Konosuba.
yeah. You know, it's funny. I originally was going to put Konosuba in my top five. I was like, can I really call it a top five? Isekai, because I have only seen the first season.
What?
Okay, no, that's a fair that's a fair assessment. If you've only seen the first season, you can't judge it by what is all out. So
yeah, like I didn't care to go watch the second season. I didn't care to go watch the spinoff. So I'm just like, you know, can I really say this? I liked season one quite a lot. I think it's hilarious, but I just never cared to watch the rest. So can I really call it a top? I agree that Konosuba is good, but I can't call it my personal top five.
That's it's a great parody of isekai as a genre.
Oh, it absolutely is, but it takes more than that. It has fun in its setting and with its characters, and that's what I genuinely love the most. And it doesn't shy away from that fact either, which is even better. How overzealous, how overly hilarious, just everything about it.
How
I
dumb.
Genuinely love. And how dumb some things are, which make, oh my God, the dumb moments make me
Some people might say there are certain characters in like the four main characters that are dumber than others. I'd argue they're all equally dumb, just in different ways.
Oh, absolutely.
So compared to something like Mushoku Tensei, where are we putting Konosuba?
It's again like the opposite end, but it's so good because of that.
I personally would put it at an A just because like it's not that good. You guys are just hyping it up too much. But I can see why people be like, no, it's S tier. You're like, okay, so you know, if we had an A+ tier, that's where I would probably land it for me personally.
I put it at S tier for the comedy. I genuinely love it.
I'm kind of with John on this. As much as I love Konosuba, I don't think it's like to the level of Mushoku Tensei. It's a very different show. It's very, very different. But I think as a parody of isekai, as a genre, it's great. So I would say fine. I say A tier. But I'm also with John, like an A+, so like a high A tier.
Yeah, it's like S- or A+. Like it's up there, but not truly peak of peak. It wasn't on all four of our lists.
No, but John, do you
maybe
know
if John watched all of it.
I know.
But John, I will say this. Let me put it like this for Konosuba. It's literally the only game that's gotten me to play. It's the only anime that's gotten me to actually play its gacha game. There's literally no other thing that has gotten me that invested.
That is not the flex you think it is, Chinoda.
It's a flex for me.
Okay. I think that
flex for me, buddy.
And I mean, I don't know how that relates to how good of an anime it is.
So let me put it
just
like
because
this.
You really like the storyline and all that stuff doesn't mean like you would go all like I understand it makes you a giant fan of the series, right? Yeah. I understand that you know, for a lot of people, like I believe Jacob really loves Konosuba as well. And yep, he like orders all the freaking manga and stuff. Or not the manga.
He knows the whole story now.
Yeah, he's read everything. And it's just like, you know, Konosuba is not one of those type of things for me. But like, I think that it's a good marker that if I watch your anime, I go and read your source material. I feel like that's a good indicator of like, this is a probably really good series. It's at least intriguing enough for me to go to the source material. But to, you know, like to interact with its alternative media like video games and other franchises and stuff like that. And I feel like it's more of a personal preference thing. Because I like when Overlord released Mask for the Dead, I went to go play it because I'm like, oh my god, Overlord has a freaking gacha game. Then I was like, wow, this game sucks. I don't love Overlord that much. Like, no, I love Overlord. Like, I wish I could turn my camera and show. Like, I have all my books. They're in the shelf right over there, all lined up. And here's the art book from the anime. I have all the fucking source material right there, just sitting right there. So it's like,
you mean you don't have the things you love within arm's reach all the time, John?
No, I keep it far away from the cat so she doesn't destroy it.
Fair. Fair.
But yeah, so like as much as I love Overlord, like it's my favorite, you know, top number one, I don't think the mobile game was that good.
John. No,
and that's fair. So from my perspective, while I do fully agree it is completely personal, I'm just saying from my personal opinion, like the fact that it made me fall in love with the story is whatever. It's the characters that I fell in love with, the characters and the comedy. The fact that it made me fall in love with it so hard that I want to interact in different forms of media with it. And there's been nothing else that have made, well, other than Halo and Star Wars, we're talking specifically anime, that have made me want to interact with different forms of media.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only like, one. You, and that's why I love it so much.
Hallmarks for you. Like, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will
that's
say,
why
John,
it's personally S tier for me.
I will say, John, you say that about wanting to read the source material being a mark of quality. I know you will go read source material to find out, is it really this dumb?
I mean, yes, I do that too. Sometimes I need... Why do you think I'm called the czar of source material? I have to read it. Does
he
it suck this much in the source, or is it just a bad adaptation? Turns
he has
out
to know
a lot
for
of
science.
Isekai are just trash. They're just bad. I should have put Isekai's smartphone in here. Honestly. Truly S-tier anime right there.
Now that would
put
be
him down. Put him down now.
That would be an epic troll. I would salute you for that.
No, I wasn't gonna put it up here. I hate that. And you know what's the worst? I'm gonna watch season 3 when it comes out. I'm not gonna stop watching it.
God.
I know.
I'm hate watching it at this point, and I hate myself.
It's not even hate. I don't even, you know, I wish I could feel something from this show. I don't feel anything, and yet
it's
I still
fucking midfest.
No, bro, that's an insult to mid. Mid does not mean bad, Alex. You have to stop calling bad stuff mid. That's not what mid means. Mid means middle.
No,
bad
mid
means
bad.
No,
no, no, no, that's not what mid means. You're not understanding. Something is bad, that can be good, because bad is funny, you know, funny bad.
Like The Room.
The Room. Bad. Funny bad. That's why it makes it good. Mid means it's so middle of the pack that it's so boring, it's so forgettable.
Forgettable.
Being mid is worse than being bad, in my opinion. Because if you're a mid show, I will not remember you. I don't remember the plot. I don't remember the character names of the people in Isekai's smartphone. All I remember is he has a smartphone. And like he has a harem of girls. It's like 9 girls, or
it's like in the title,
like
11
or something.
It's just in the title.
Oh god, I actually remember more about it than. Oh no, that's not good.
See, see, you like
it so much.
Smartphone.
I hate it so much,
John.
I actually remember stuff.
John is right though. Like 5 out of 10 is the worst score you can give something.
Yeah, like if it's not a bad experience and it's a middling experience, it's even worse because it's easier to forget middling experiences than bad experiences.
Yeah, I agree. So next on the list, speaking of peak, Eminence and Shadow.
I swapped Konosuba for this one because I was like, you know what? I really like Eminence and Shadow. It's really funny.
I love it. I love it
because
so
in terms
much.
Of like an isekai that makes it's a self-aware isekai. I was like, you know, I think Konosuba is good, but I like Eminence and Shadow better. Like, yeah. This is good.
It's an actual
but I like
parody
this.
Parody.
like, as far as parodies go, I found myself more enjoying that, and the fact that, you know, I went and go read the source material, I was like, yeah, I gotta go do it now. Versus Konosuba, where I watched one season. It's like, yeah, I watched one. I watched Isekai Quartet. Does that count?
I mean, kind of. Spinoff of Swords.
I mean, I watched it because Overlord was in it. And then I wanted to stop watching it because Shield Hero came into it. So.
Same. By the way, John, you know who just started reading the source material for Eminence and Shadow?
You?
This guy!
Hey. Mark, it's a hallmark of good quality show. If you go and read it, it's one of, definitely one of the things that... Because, you know, the point of anime, at least back in the day, was to sell the source material, right? Mm-hmm. It's not really that case anymore. Now the anime is kind of just exists as alternative media that also can help sell you the source material. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, you know, it's a win-win. There's a lot more anime watchers than there are light novel readers, I would say.
Absolutely. No.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
And I think it's a good way to get people into source material is like with the anime.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I do wish that, this is way off topic, but I do wish that studios would take a little more risk with anime original stuff from time to time, but...
No, there's a monetary reason they don't, and it unfortunately makes sense.
I'm just saying Metallic Rouge is great.
Oh, it is. Fantastic.
Are you caught up? Did you watch the last episode?
I'm one episode behind, but I will watch the newest episode this weekend.
Anyways, Eminence and Shadow, fantastic all around.
S-tier.
Great parody.
Yeah, S-tier. To me, it's S-tier.
It has to go.
Like, S-tier. As far as parody Isekai goes, to me, this is probably S-tier.
All right. I agree. It's fantastic. I cannot wait.
And as of the end of the spoilers here, skip like 30 seconds. As of the ending of latest season, it is now a reverse Isekai as well. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Did the anime show them going back?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't remember the last episode.
That's the last episode.
Okay. Yeah. No, this next part is kind of boring, though, in my opinion. Like, oh, okay. Comparative to the rest of the season.
All I need is my Shadow Service, man.
But, like I said, the anime has been hyping up the show a lot better than like the manga did, so I'm pretty excited to watch the anime. Like, it's very far and few between that an anime will outdo its source material.
Yes. And you've said before, like, that's the mark of, like, genuine adaptation quality, is when an anime adaptation
you can elevate,
in particular...
Yeah,
either
elevate the source material.
Yeah,
if you can, like a right good adaptation there. Will be a one-for-one remake, right? Because if the source material is good, then but that's the problem. If it's good, then a one-for-one is fine, but it could be better.
Yeah, if they make the changes that make
I know
it
that
better.
People argue with Stanley Kubrick's style of like directing. I love Kubrick. I love his films, and I loved what he did to Space Odyssey
2001. Clockwork Orange.
I didn't read that book, so I have no idea how it compares.
Okay. The book is something else, let me tell you.
Yeah, I've heard that it's like, I've heard people say they hated the movie because the book is like, oh, it's way darker, this and that. But I'm like, I have to read the book first so I can compare and contrast. But for example, for The Shining, like, I love the movie. The book, it's okay. Like, I think Kubrick delivered way better in the movie than he did the actual, like, the book. So that's how I feel.
It's the Stephen King book.
Yeah, like, but that's also because I don't like Stephen King that much.
Do you know what's funny is, like, that movie when it came out was, the Shining, was, like, really well received by both critics and audiences. And Stephen King famously hated it. So he went on to make, like, a made-for-TV. I can't remember if it was a miniseries or a movie, but everyone hated it except for him.
He made his because he wanted it to be more in line with the book. And as it turns out, that was shitty.
Yeah.
Turns out that sometimes a director knows better than the author. Sometimes.
Turns out, Stephen King, that sometimes cocaine can't write movies.
Well, this was the same case for, like, have you guys ever read or watched 50 Shades of Grey?
No.
I have not read the book, but I have unfortunately seen the film.
Oh, so, no, poor Alex.
I watched a video essay about the entire movie series and stuff, and as it turns out, there are parts in the movie series that are actually not terrible.
Really?
Those parts, yeah. And those parts, those specific scenes, are things that aren't based on the book, and it was the director's like decision, the writer's like the screenwriter's decisions to change, because was it Stephanie Meyer? She's the author, I believe, of 50 Shades of Grey.
No, that's Stephanie Meyer is Twilight.
E.L. James.
Yeah. All right. So whoever created 50 Shades of Grey, it's based off of Twilight, by the way.
if you didn't know, it's Twilight fan fiction.
It's literally Twilight fan fiction, which is crazy, and it became its own movie series. But she, I believe it was a woman. I don't remember, but the creator of 50 Shades of Grey had so much creative control over the movies, and we're like, no, you have to keep this, you have to keep this, and fought against the director on basically every decision. So the parts in the movies that are actually like passable as a movie are from the actual director and their screenwriters. The parts that are terrible are based on the book.
Yeah, the writer of the 50 Shades of Grey novels is E.L. James, or Erica Mitchell, as her real name is.
So, yeah, I watched a video essay about that, and I was like, that makes so much sense. Because I was like, you know, there are some moments in the movies that I was like, it's not terrible. It's like a standard movie. But then there's parts that are just god-awful, and as it turns out, it's because it's based on the source material.
That's funny.
A shame. That is a true fucking shame.
Anyways, back to the list.
back to what we're actually here to do. So Eminence of Shadow, definitely S tier. Delta Best Girl. Moving on to another one that had overlap here. No Game No Life. Both myself and John had this on our list.
So I originally wasn't thinking, I didn't think of No Game No Life as an isekai. Like, I never have thought about it as an isekai.
Even though it literally is.
Even though it literally is. Yeah. You know why? It's because we haven't gotten a season two. It's fallen so far from grace. Like, do people even know what No Game No Life is?
Oh, sadly, yeah. The memes are still there.
Sadly,
it's
though,
not it's nearly as prevalent, but yes, it's still there.
It's season two never, man. Season two never.
But in terms of like enjoyable isekai, like, I forget that it's an isekai, but it is fucking hilarious of a show. I probably should go read the books. The movie,
you know,
was
what's
like
sad, you know, the saddest thing about No Game No Life is if it came out today, it'd probably get like 8 seasons.
Maybe. I honestly don't know.
I mean, the thing about No Game No Life is like, it's made by Madhouse. They're not known to doing sequels, but when they make sequels, they're usually god awful,
like Overlord,
like Overlord, which we'll get to in a moment. But I personally really like No Game No Life. I think the anime itself, like, it's beautifully animated. I love the color palettes. I love the music.
Oh my god, the color palette is disgusting.
The movie was fucking phenomenal. Like, it's one of the better anime movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And like, the story itself is pretty well written. Like, there are a lot of throwaway jokes in there that I know people have problems with, like the whole like the incestuous stuff about it, right? It's like, it's kind of there, but at the same time, it's like, well, it's not really, because it's not real, dude. It's fake. First of all, they're not related, okay? One of them's adopted.
Unfortunate.
Second of all, unfortunate. Get out of here, Alex. But, like, that's not the main focus of the series. Like, it has those type of undertones for sure, just like the Monogatari series has those type of undertones for sure, but the main story itself doesn't revolve around that at all.
No.
Like, Stephanie Dola and Jibril are, like, you know, the best girls in the series are the actual, like, love interests, if we could call it that. Like, the sister is not a love interest.
For now.
For now. Much of Alex's chagrin.
I thought it was, I mean, obviously I loved it over the years, but now, years later, as I've seen so much other things and have grown more, I think it's okay. I don't know if it's that amazing anymore. The production quality is above the standard, but I don't know if it's necessarily that amazing now that I think about
go
it.
Go read the books. Yeah. You'll never get a season two. Just go read.
Can I say though, like, because I am kind of thinking about this in terms of the anime specifically, not necessarily the source material. If I'm ranking No Game No Life just based on what we've got with the anime so far, I'd probably, sadly, as much as I love it, probably give it B tier compared to everything else.
You know what's really funny?
I agree.
I also agree.
We all agree. Okay.
As much now, as I love if, No if Game I No were, Life.
if I were ranking it based on the anime and all the source material, then I'd probably say A.
Yeah.
I'm just also, judging anime over here.
I feel like the same. That's exactly how I feel about it. Like, okay. It would be A if we considered the movie and also the books, but if we have to judge just on season one, it's like, yeah, it's more of a C, like, or a B. It's more of a entry level, like, anime.
Well, no, I'm judging it based on the one season we got plus the movie. If I had to judge it just on the one season of TV anime we got, I'd give it a C.
Yeah.
But with the movie really elevates that first season.
Yeah, God,
it
I wish
really it does.
That, like, set a new standard for the movies for Madhouse. I'm like, come on, please, yeah. Madhouse.
Please. Madhouse, please.
All right.
So moving on. Speaking of Madhouse, Overlord. Yeah,
speaking of Madhouse. Season...
This was on John and...
Chinoda's.
Chinoda's list.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised that... Oh, wait, Nintai hated the anime.
Yeah,
and I didn't have it on my list because I love the light novels. I absolutely adore the light novels. The anime is just kind of
To me, like, right out, like, again, Overlord, favorite light novel series at the moment. Depends on how the last two volumes pan out. We'll see if that.
If you're looking for an isekai light novel series to get into, pick Overlord
or Mushoku Tensei. Like, you can't go wrong with that. Or Slime Tensei. That you can't go wrong with that either. Those are really good light novels. But for me, I personally, like, Overlord's anime is what got me into Overlord. Mm. So I'm biased. I'm biased as fuck. Okay. I absolutely love the music in Overlord. The OST is fucking phenomenal. I love it. The anime itself, C tier. Like, I can't. Wow.
C tier is way too low, buddy. Come on.
No, bro.
Come on.
It's C tier.
I'm kind of in agreement,
dude,
here.
You don't understand. All right, season two and season three was such a drop in quality.
It's such a slog to get through, too.
It's so terrible. Like, I can't base it off of season one and four. Four, I think they improved. I think it got better in four a little bit. Definitely a giant improvement from season three. Season three was a fucking, it was dog shit, bro.
Season three is absolute utter shit.
Yeah, like, it's unfortunate that the season three exists. And season two is one of my favorite arcs to be in the novel, but the adaptation was pretty fucking dog water.
Is it bad that at this point I'm only watching new seasons of Overlord to support the creator of Overlord?
Wow.
I'm watching it because, again, I love the music. Listening to OXT and also
Myth and Roid.
Not Myth and Roid anymore.
They're not there anymore.
Yeah. Well, I believe they broke up. I don't know. Now. It was I don't remember the lady singer from Myth and Roid was the one who did season four, I believe. Maya something.
I don't know the name
off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up, but
I'd also have to look it up. But yeah, no, to me, because we have to rank it based off of the anime and off of the seasons one through four. Also, the new movie's coming out in a couple months, by the way. Just I'm excited. It's the Holy Kingdom arc. But
it will be a letdown, but he's excited.
Well, see, the letdown was that in season four, they literally skipped chapter volume 12 and 13 of the light novel and just adapted part of the fucking volume 14. And you're like, what? What? This doesn't make any sense. But I'm like, okay, whatever. It doesn't matter, I guess. They literally skipped that because they're going to make it a movie. And then I'm just like, and you know, I'm a little iffy on that. But quality wise, season four wasn't as bad as three and two. And music, again, phenomenal. But to me, because I have to judge it based off the entire anime series, it's a C tier. It's just because of those two bad seasons, it drags it down so bad, you know?
Yeah, I agree. As much as I want to give Overlord, like, a really good rating, I can't.
I really can't.
Unfortunately, you guys do have to compare it to the source material. So I can understand where you're coming from, and I hear the pain in John's voice every time he talks about this, every single time.
I love the series so much, you know, like, I'm freaking, so, I'm Marlon Brando, you know, look at how they massacred my boy.
When season three was actually airing, like, almost every week when we get together to record, John was like, this is fucking bullshit, guys. This is absolute shit.
There was so much copium, bro. Maybe they're holding out animation budget for the end because the ending is supposed to be so good. And it's like, oh God. The baby.
What we got with John going through season three of Overlord's anime is gonna be me if the new Spice Wolf sucks.
Oh God! Really,
you were already huffing copium because I told you the CGI in it was horrendous from the trailer. You just conveniently ignored the horrendous CGI.
Listen, maybe they got the budget for other stuff. It's fine. Maybe the music's gonna be great.
Speaking as someone who's anime only for Overlord at the moment, I liked most of it. I definitely agree on the fact that season 2 and 3 was much less in quality compared to 1 and 4. Even for me, that was obvious. Skipping stuff and like some things not making sense, and the animation budget for a lot of things. Holy shit. Music has always been banger.
About Overlord's anime.
Literally in season 4, there's Renner who does like a music scene, a dancing music scene.
That was great. I loved that. I loved it. It caught me so off guard. I was like, the fuck is happening?
Like 3 minutes doing that, bro. Like, why?
Look, I loved it. I thought it was pretty. Okay.
We could have got a lot, but it doesn't
matter. Shinoda got the George Lucas syndrome going on here. That 3 minute long musical in Return of the Jedi was really necessary.
I enjoyed it.
Anyway, and I know Natai's thoughts about it, and that's why he even left it off of his list.
I mean, Natai
would put it in F.
Well, we don't have an F.
We don't have an F, but he would put it in F, which is why I think it's a solid C for all of us involved. If you're going to give it like a B at least, me and Alex are saying C, and Natai
would say D.
I think it belongs in C.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're getting to the stuff that only appeared on everyone's list once. And the first one is Saga of Tanya the Evil, and it was on Chinoda's list.
Let's go, evil lollies!
My original top five actually did have Tanya, and also Konosuba, and also Slime Tensei. And then I was like, you know
what? How many times did you revise this list?
A lot.
Like five.
You understand this, man.
Because, again, if you look through the top, like, you know, you go to Mao, you go number one, most members of people who like this show.
Yeah.
It's like, these were all in the top 50. Like, top 20, I would say. And then that made me reevaluate. I'm like, okay, first of all, there's over 380 isekai tagged anime. And it made me reevaluate what is actually good isekai. And to me, I'm like, okay, I liked Saga of Tanya the Evil. The music was, again, on point. Animation, fucking phenomenal. Was it Madhouse?
Best studio name ever, Studio Nut.
Oh, yeah, Studio Nut. Okay. Great animation, you know. The voice acting by Aoyuki. Phenomenal.
Oh my god, phenomenal.
I love Aoyuki.
That woman has phenomenal range.
I honestly think this might have been one of her best roles ever, in my personal opinion, at least.
I mean, she has a very dynamic range. She was also an Overlord, by the way. She's Clementine. She's also Mao Mao in
This woman has more range than people will ever give her credit for.
Yeah, she's a phenomenal voice actor. She really carries the role of Tanya. Freaking cycle. She's a freaking cycle Nazi loli. But again, I didn't go and read the source material after watching the anime. I've been waiting for a season 2.
It's coming out allegedly.
It is coming.
I like the story, but to me, it's like, as far as isekai goes, it's not that great of a isekai in my opinion. Like, it's not top 5 material to me. It's probably top like 10 material, but not top 5.
That's understandable. Like,
it's an enjoyable story. The art is good. The music's fucking, again, Myth and Roy.
Yeah.
Jingo Jungo, fucking love that song.
It's the fun actual watching OST itself,
pretty good.
Watching Tanya just be so comically evil.
Yeah. Are we the bad guys?
Are we the baddies?
No, we're following the rules, therefore it's okay. Let me ask this, have you guys watched the movie?
No, yes. I haven't watched the movie.
Oh, you haven't watched the movie?
No.
Bro.
It was good. All right. It was
actually
good.
It was actually
Is it about the
good.
American girl? Is that the main antagonist?
Yes.
Okay, because I knew the story, the next part coming up ahead, because someone I was watching it with told me, like, hey, yeah, that girl that pops up at the end of the show, the daughter, she's like the next bad guy and basically is the main antagonist. I'm like, that makes sense. And I'm like, wait, are we the bad guys? Oh no.
No, you actually see a lot of things from her perspective and like a lot of things start making sense and it's actually really cool. No,
what
I
does it compare to the rest of these though?
I genuinely love Saga of Tanya the Evil. I enjoy that character so much. The story is okay, in my opinion. It's just a story about war country trying to expand and all that. But the characters are what really sell it for me. The side squad, they're great. But Tanya, oh my god, Tanya is so much
psychotic,
fun.
Bro. Like in the anime, when she's like laughing maniacally and spinning around in circles, she's like, it's like, bro.
Pirouetting while laughing like a maniac. Oh
what
my god. I love her. I fell in love when she did that. I'm
she
like,
literally
you're crazy.
Nukes.
I love it.
Yeah, I personally think the saga of Tanya the Evil, to me personally, would be a B tier. Just because it's like, it's good, but it's not amazing. Because like I said, you know, everything about it is a good story. But to me, it feels kind of middle of the road, kind of just like No Game, No Life, where it's like season one. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Personally, I would say it's A tier, but I'd say like a low A tier, A minus.
I would go A tier for Saga of Tanya the Evil because, again, very fun. It made me, it just made me fall in love with it so much just because of how crazy, how insane some of the things they do is. And I'm just like, the balls on this little girl is so freaking hilarious.
And the music design and the like sound effects and stuff, amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Oh, sound design is phenomenal in that anime.
Yeah, like the magic feels hefty when it's being used. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, oh,
and the
yeah,
sounds
cool.
of it powering up. Oh my god. I actually sat up when they started doing that. I was like, oh, they put in love and care for this.
The sound engineer was cooking. So what do we think? A or B?
I think A.
I think B, so it's up to you to defer, Alex.
I'm trying to think what Natai would say about it, because I know he's seen Saga of Tanya the Evil, but I don't think he liked it. I mean,
I think he's going to respond.
He's
asleep.
He's not awake, Natai.
He's asleep right now, bro.
Oh,
you know what?
Right. He is
asleep. I'm gonna put it in B, but say it's a B plus.
Okay. I think that's fair.
All right. So next on the list is also from Chinoda's list. It is Slime Tensei, which almost made it onto my top five.
So I wanted to put Slime Tensei in my top five because I finished reading the web novel. I have not read the light novel. I'm not sure how much they've changed, but the anime is based on the light novel, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But my information is
how
based
much of
off
a difference is there between the web novel and light novel?
Web novels are like first
anime.
Drafts.
Yeah, like for example, Overlord's web novel, there's no Albedo, she doesn't exist.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's that to think about. Like the versions between web novel and light novel can be pretty major. In like Mushoku Tensei's case, I believe it's pretty minor going from web novel to light novel. But I don't know. Apparently,
I can't think of the horror of living in a world where my big titty virgin succubus doesn't exist. Makes me sad.
I mean, there she is.
She's just sitting right here on my desk. But
anyways, you were saying, I'm sorry.
That's a good way to think of web novels, though. They're essentially first draft.
Web novels are basically the first draft. So there could be quite, like, the major arcing story is probably not going to change, but there's definitely going to be a lot of changes.
Okay.
And it, as just an example of, like, how it could change from a web novel to light novel, Overlord. Apparently in Mushoku Tensei, again, the overarching story is the same, and they've been hitting some of the same, basically most of the same notes, but there are things that were missing. And apparently what they did with, what's her name in season two, the elf girl that liked him when he saved her from the party when he was adventuring, Rudy.
Oh, that one.
Brunette? Sally?
I don't remember.
It starts with an S. I just can't remember the name.
Sasha? Sarah? Sarah? I think it's Sarah.
Sarah? Sarah?
Sarah? I don't remember. Apparently, they changed her story quite a bit. So I was like, I didn't know that. But apparently, the light novel is way better than the web novel anyway, which is usually true. Like, Overlord's light novel is way better than the web novel. I don't know how much they've changed for Slime Tensei, because again, I've only read the web novel, but to me, it doesn't look like they've changed very much, at least based off of the first two seasons.
Gotcha.
I will say though, Slime Tensei really surprised me when it came out. Because, well, when the first episode came out, I was like, oh, hey, I read the web novel. I like this series. It's all right. It's okay story. And then I watched the first episode. I'm like, yo, what is this fucking sound design? What is this magic system? Oh my God, it's so animated so well. What the fuck? So I'm very surprised at how well the anime has adapted the source material or the light novel. Like at least in terms of animation quality and sound quality, it's leagues above a lot of other adaptations like Overlord.
Is it?
Sara. Sara.
It was Sara. I was right.
Yeah, from Counter Arrow.
Yes.
Is it 8-bit doing the adaptation of Slime Tensei?
Yes, it is 8-bit. And okay. I believe 8-bit was the ex Madhouse employees.
It is.
I believe they're ex Madhouse.
I was pretty sure it was 8-bit, but I wasn't sure. They're also doing the new season of Yuru Camp.
They also took over for a regular at Magic High. I believe 8-bit
did,
took over for that. Even though I think it was Madhouse who did the first season.
If I had a dollar for every time 8-bit took over a season of anime for Madhouse, I'd have $2. Not a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice.
Weird that it's happened twice, right?
Probably going to happen more times, honestly.
Yeah, based off the animes alone, and plus the OVAs, the first two seasons plus the OVAs, I believe there was a movie, but I don't remember if I watched the movie.
There is a movie, yes.
I don't remember if that was what I watched. I honestly do not remember, but all of them
isn't
have
there
the
like
same
two movies.
I honestly don't remember.
I'm pretty,
but
sure
I'm basing it
one
off of the quality across the OVAs and like the movies and the animes. I feel like this is a very solid A tier anime. It's got a decent story. I love the voice acting. The animation and sound design, like I said, are phenomenal. Like they blow a lot of the other isekai out of the fucking water, which is unfortunate. It's quite unfortunate because the story itself is kind of it's okay. In my opinion, I don't think it's a bad story. I just think it's okay. Like it does have a couple of.
I just want to say, Mila makes me feel some kind of way.
Oh my God, she's a 1,000-year-old dragon princess. It's fine.
Throwing that out there, man.
It's just Scarlet Bond.
Also, Ranga is like a bro.
I love freaking Ranga.
I love his voice actor.
Yeah.
No, so I genuinely love Slime Tensei. It's such a fun anime to watch. Between the characters, the world, the story that keeps on happening, you get a drip feed of the story as more and more things happen. You find out more of history. I find that really cool and really interesting, actually. So yeah. It's a really cool thing. I love the character designs as well, and especially the fact that they're not afraid to change up character designs, what clothes they wear, how they look. I really find that cool because there's a lot of figures and a lot of art that comes out of this series because of that.
Yeah.
I think both of you guys said it already, and I'll echo it. Like, this series is not super deep. It's not super like probing, but it's fucking fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, solid A.
I agree. I would say it's just short of S tier.
If the story and the writing was a little bit better, I'd probably put it up there. Like, I'm so sorry for you, Sama, but it's your writing is not that great.
If there were any kind of deep themes or actually,
I think it's
like,
pretty good.
Writing,
I think it's just a little bit below S tier is the only thing. I think it's pretty good.
Oh yeah, no. Again, if the writing was a little bit better and the story was a little bit better, it would definitely be S tier. That's the only thing holding it back. It's the writing.
And, you know, as an anime only at the moment, for me, maybe it gets better with the upcoming season. So I'm very excited to see what happens.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things.
I do not go into any of these seasons expecting deep writing. I just expect fun.
No, and that's fair. But, like, the thing is, the story and everything has been moving along, and it's been building more and more. So I'm really excited to see what kind of shenanigans happen.
All right. Moving on. So this next one is the only one on anybody's list that I have not seen. And it is, what is it?
Isekai Oji-san. Uncle in Another World or whatever it is in English.
Only one I haven't seen.
Excuse you. It's Based Uncle. Thank you very much.
Based Uncle. And so you've seen it, Shinoda.
Bro, it's so good. All right. The final few weeks of waiting for the last episode, the pain.
Yeah, Isekai Oji-san, first of all, the main character, the uncle, he's like, he got put into a coma when he was very young. He like got into a coma when Sega was still part of the market. And then like 20 or something years later, he comes back. He comes out of his coma.
80s baby, something like that.
Yeah. So then he comes back into existence,
the modern world.
Yeah. Into the modern world. But the thing is, his mind was transported to another world. So he explored into another world, but his main body was here. But he did age. So he's like a 19-year-old in a 30-something-year-old's body or something like that.
No, he was like age in the other world as well, but...
Yeah. But he's voiced by Dio.
Yeah, that's the most...
fucking sold! I'm gonna go watch it right now.
But see, it's you're a gonna weird...
Because of that, but it's actually really fucking good. Like,
it's
I
a weird isekai.
Shit, man, that's all you had to say. He was voiced by Dio.
Well, I'm saying it's a weird isekai because it's like technically his body that we follow, he's never left the real world, but his mind has, and he gains magic and stuff. And he brings it back to the old world. So a lot of our viewing of the other world is like through his memory magic. It's like, oh yeah. And it's like, wait, if you were knocked out, uncle, how did this happen? He's like, oh, don't worry. The spirits were recording.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not a serious isekai. It's super stupid and funny, but the essentialness is that he goes to this other world, and this dude, he went there without knowing the existence of tsundere weren't created yet when he got isekai'd. So like, there's this obvious love interest who's a tsundere, right? Elf girl. And he doesn't know what a tsundere is. So he's like, oh, she hated my guts.
like the anime very painfully made it obvious that she loved him. And...
Oh my god. it's a not serious watch. It's fucking hilarious. To me, like, I don't know if it's a satirical isekai anime.
I don't think it's satirical.
It kind of plays off as like a satirical one, but it does. It's not a self-aware making fun of. Like, it's more like Konosuba in terms of its comedy, of like, hey, look at these funny isekai tropes. Because he basically goes to the other world and like he's considered ugly, so they think he's an orc.
Yeah, he's like considered horrible. Like, anytime someone sees him, they're like, oh my god, it's an orc, kill him.
I haven't seen this, but this sounds awesome.
It's great. I talked about it while it was airing. You never gave it a chance, motherfucker. Hey. I probably should have said that Dio.
You
should have
just said Dio was in it, man.
Yeah, really.
Again, Shinoda not leading with the important bits here.
What else is new?
Like, guys, this is actually really great. Go watch it. No.
So I, for Isekai Oji-san, I read it before I watched it. And I remember during the production, it was unfortunately published by Netflix. So it got basically no promotion. And also... I believe there was a bunch of COVID outbreaks and stuff during the production, so they had to delay a bunch of
stuff. That's why it got so delayed. And
yeah, so it's like the hype
ended up stretching over multiple seasons.
Unfortunately, the hype for Isekai Oji-san was like basically at an all-time low because of like Netflix's fucking schedule, the production delays. So, you know, like, I want everyone else out there to at least give Isekai Oji-san a shot. Like, just watch the first episode, bro. If you don't like the first episode, you probably wouldn't like the series. Because the first episode basically is every episode is going to be basically kind of centered around the same type of topic.
I would say the first two episodes more so. I feel like it comes in a package pair for you to get more of a full experience.
Yeah, I just don't think people have ever heard of this. Like, I don't see people re-uploading clips of it and stuff that much.
I've seen it, actually. I've seen it a couple times. So, like, there
I've
are
seen
definitely,
it, but not
it,
as much
it's more
as,
of
like,
a cult,
you know,
following with us.
Yeah, it's most definitely a cult following, but I think more people should watch Isekai Oji-san. It's fucking phenomenal.
John, as an anime adaptation from Netflix, it cannot be as bad as Way of the House Husband.
Oh god, that
no,
was
no, nothing awful. Ever will be.
What?
Nothing ever
and will be. I have actually gone and read some of Way of the House Husband. It's really, it's funny. It's enjoyable.
I love Way of the House Husband's manga. It's hilarious.
And the anime gets none of that right.
It's surprising too. It's animated just, they were just painted pages from the manga. literally put onto the screen as a slideshow.
Painpeco.jpg.
Exactly. I haven't seen like, Isekai Ojisan. I don't have a dog in the hunt here.
How could you make an adaptation where if you're literally lifting the manga, which is phenomenal, and then pasting it with color, how did you make it worse? How is that possible, Netflix?
I don't know. But
they managed to.
Where are you putting Isekai Ojisan, though?
It's definitely A tier. I would say
A tier. Okay.
Like it is great.
It's close to S tier, honestly. Yeah, I would say that.
I have nothing to say for or against it. I haven't seen it. Like I said, I don't have a dog in this hunt, so
I definitely
the Ice Princess. I just thought of the Ice Princess.
Yeah.
There's all so right. many great characters. Genuinely, please go watch this. Give it a chance.
I will probably watch it then. Maybe in time for the next monthly dump. Who knows?
All right, now something these two hate.
Excuse me. I like ReZero, thank you very much.
Yeah, I think I'm the only person in the world Subaru. Who hates ReZero, man. I feel like I'm the only person who hates ReZero.
All right, D tier, moving on.
Whoa, what the fuck? You no, even cosplayed Subaru and you're putting it in D tier?
I have cosplayed Subaru. I don't know. I can't bring myself to hate ReZero. I'm far from saying I love it or that it's like an S tier isekai. It's not.
I don't.
And
think
especially
it's
since there's such a gap in between each of these seasons that are coming out, and it's like, I get it. It takes time to make quality animation, but come on, you can't have 3 or 4 years in between each of your seasons.
Okay, that's a whole nother complaint. Going off the anime,
it's a very valid complaint.
It is a valid complaint, and that's fair. You've been kept waiting.
The only compliment I can give ReZero is that it's got good music.
It does have great music.
I mean, yeah, John, yeah. You mean you like hearing every 3 episodes?
I love that sound effect, actually. Yeah, because every time I hear it, I'm just like something bad happens. Like like oh no, oh no.
John needs a soundboard on his phone that he can just walk around with. In real life.
No, he would have too much power, and he would get shot.
Every time someone comes to him at work and says, "I lost a tool," he could just play that sound effect.
Hopefully, he's not on a plane.
Hey, I shipped this plane, and the bolts weren't tight.
No! Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that.
Yeah, I think that ReZero, the animation was good. The music is great. I think the story is ass. Even the source material, the story is ass. So,
what am I supposed to do with this
information?
I think that the light novel is not very well written, but I do think the anime does it better because it cuts out some of the fat.
Since I've only read the first 2 volumes and watched the first season, I have no horse in this race. Like, because we're doing a comparative of all of ReZero, so this is the rest is up to you guys. Like, I know that the world just absolutely loves ReZero for whatever reason, so to me, I think it's solid D tier. I know you guys are gonna rank it at D tier. Fuck, I'm pretty sure you guys are gonna rank it at B or A tier, to be honest. I think you guys are gonna give it accolades just like the rest of the world.
In comparison, we're putting it in S.
we're not putting it in S.
We're not.
As much as I know Natai absolutely adores it, and I really wish he were here to talk about it, but it has a lot of problems. It's not perfect, and I'd say if I had to give it a ranking, especially based on compared to what we have here, I'd say B tier.
So before we give it a ranking, I do want to say I don't think the story is god awful like John thinks. I do think there is a lot of content to it, and it is a little bit overwhelming at times. The pacing could be better, but I don't think it's the worst thing ever. They do structure it in a way that it makes sense for me. The characters are cool and engaging, and getting to see backstories for a lot of them, especially later on, which makes things connect a lot more and gives it the ability to rewatch it to make it to give it a different perspective, I find is really cool, because once you've seen something later and you go back and watch something, you can connect certain dots that weren't there before, and you're like, oh, holy shit. I find that to be really cool, really interesting. It's not the greatest thing ever, but it's not horrible either. I think this belongs in B tier.
Okay. That was a long-winded way to say I agree with you, Alex.
Well, excuse me if I want to actually talk for once and give some feedback and detail. Fuck, you know what? I won't ever say anything
again. Yeah, especially since
fuck
I can't
you.
Comment on
it. I actually
on
put in effort for something for once.
All right. And now for me to completely dunk on your entire theory. Subaru is basically Adam Sandler. All right. He's got a heart of gold and he's a happy-go-lucky guy, and things just happen to work out for him, even though it shouldn't work out for him. Just saying. Just putting it out there.
I never thought about it that way, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I disagree with that. I think he actually puts an effort to...
No, he does. Yeah, that's the entire point. It's like it's supposed to be him always trying to put a foot forward and then getting pushed back two or three steps and then unlocking more lore behind the world. And I'm like, okay.
Do you know, so when does it push back like 5 or 10 steps each time, and he has to fight
one
bitterly.
Step forward, 18 steps back.
Yeah. It's just the suffering of Subaru.
See, and that's my biggest issue.
It is suffer porn.
That's my biggest issue with the story. Not the fact that, like, I don't mind seeing characters suffer, especially if there's some kind of, like, something that they can learn along the way from it.
Sometimes ReZero feels like it's suffer porn for the sake of being suffer porn. And honestly, I do feel that's a valid complaint. Well, I don't care about that, but I understand a lot of people do. And it is a valid complaint.
I was going to compare it to something like Mushoku Tensei, for example, where Rudy suffers from time to time, but it always serves the plot, and it always serves to, like, it serves his growth as a character. In ReZero, it's like, okay, you have this time loop mechanic, which is cool and all, but number one, we still don't know how it works. We still don't know who's in control of it, at least in the anime. I'm not talking about the source material. And, like, there doesn't seem to be any, like, logical rhyme or reason to it. And every time he suffers, it's just like, okay, we got to go back, you know, however many days or hours or whatever it is in the past, and we got to do all this shit over again. And it's like, okay, that's great. The first two or three times you do it, and now it's like it's becoming old.
Yeah.
And Subaru isn't growing that fast either. It's like Subaru is still the same dumbass that he is at the end of season two that he is at the beginning of season one.
Yeah, because the story is not about his personal growth. The story is about him dying.
I will say, he does experience.
Why do you exist, Subaru, to die?
Like, it is at a slow pace, but he does experience personal growth.
It's very, it's like
slow. It is slow. It's almost painfully slow.
You know how
times.
I know he doesn't experience personal growth? Because even in the spinoff with Rem, where he escapes with her, he still chooses Amelia.
Yeah.
What? John, anime only. Fuck off.
Oh, this guy doesn't even read any of the side stories. This guy.
Fake fan. I am in agreement that I say we put it in B compared to everything else. Like, I'm very far away from loving it, but I can't say I absolutely hate it because there are elements to it I do like. All right. Last
final
is,
thing.
It was going to be one of John's honorable mentions. It was actually on my list. It's Inuyasha.
I love Inuyasha. I think I love a lot of the music, and you know, it's like, could this just be a nostalgia bias? It could be,
maybe,
because Inuyasha it is old, it is dated. I definitely don't think it's like S tier levels of anime.
Quick question. No. Are we counting the
all the movies?
The sequel series.
Oh,
No, I'm talking about just Inuyasha and the Inuyasha movies.
No, I'm not including the sequel.
Okay, so just the original series.
Yes, the original series. Because that spans like 60 something episodes.
Yes.
Still haven't watched it.
What?
I haven't.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple episodes on Toonami way back in the day.
So
I meant to get around to watching it. I just haven't.
It might just be, again, nostalgia bias, but I think Inuyasha is a pretty darn good just show in general.
Yeah,
like,
I do agree with that.
It introduced a lot of people to be anime fans. Like, if my wife was here, she'd be talking about, I love Inuyasha.
Yeah, it was a lot of people's first anime.
I remember, I mean, this the anime started airing in the near the end of the year 2000. And I remember staying up late to watch this anime on TV because they were airing it there. I don't know. It's not the anime that got me into anime, but it's one of the anime like in that late 90s, early 2000s era that really solidified my love for anime. Like this, along with stuff like Cowboy Bebop, Naruto, anime like that.
I recently, not recently, I guess like 10 years ago, I also rewatched all of Inuyasha one more time after I watched all of it one more time. Because I watched it, like, you know, as a kid, you're not certain if you've watched every single episode because you just watch it when you can. So then I remember my friend, she gave me her DVD collection of Inuyasha when I was in high school, I believe. And I watched all of it then. And then a couple years ago, I went and rewatched it again. So I don't know if, again, it's because of nostalgia bias, but I didn't mind watching it again. There are some dated jokes in there.
Very dated.
Absolutely. Very dated jokes. Again, based off of a manga. Is it based off of? Yeah, it is based off
yes,
of a manga. Right?
It is based off of a manga written in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it was like a 90s manga.
Very 1996 much is when it started publishing. Time.
Yeah, so again, very dated. It's got some dated
Not
jokes
that it's
in there.
The worst thing ever, but a couple of off the cuff jokes.
Well, I mean, there's literally a perverted monk who like sexually harasses. Then no, he touches her butt, sexually assaults one of the girls, like literally every other episode.
Yeah.
Like that's the joke is that he's perverted, but he's a monk. It's ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Like, I mean, it's all cheeks. It's done by the same the manga is written by the same mangaka that wrote Urusei Yatsura.
No. So I think that the quality of the story and stuff is still pretty solid. To me, it's a solid B tier anime. Like I think that I haven't watched the remake or the sequel. You know, where everything happens afterwards. So I have no clue if the
literally the only joke that I actually found to be funny from that is who the fuck fucked Shishamaru?
Who wouldn't?
I know who. I know what happened, and I have a problem with it. But that's for another thing. But
I'm just saying, I am all for doing a spoiler cast of Inuyasha.
I don't think anyone cares about a spoiler cast for Inuyasha. I think the Inuyasha fans were made back in the 90s, and we're not making any more Inuyasha fans. But I have heard that the sequel is bad. Like,
the
it's not as
just
up all to right. par. Huh, I heard it's not up to par to the original.
No, it's not. Nowhere near.
But, yeah, to me, I think Inuyasha is a solid B. Just because of the story is still pretty decent. Like, I love the romance between Inuyasha and Kagome, first and foremost.
Sit, like, boy.
Yeah, I remember the English voice cast in it's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, back in the day, the dubs were not that great, but I remember what few episodes I did watch it. I'm like, yo, this is actually really cool.
For an anime from like the early 2000s with the sort of all over the place quality of dubs at that time, this is a pretty good dub.
I think the person who voiced Kagome is also the person who voiced Misty.
Was it?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up, but I feel like they have the same voice.
Hold on. I gotta see this.
And if so, then she might just be the secret behind my childhood crushes. I don't know. Just her voice.
I'm looking this up right now. No. I mean, if it was, then not listed on MAL.
Yeah, I don't know.
The only other, character that I think a lot of people would know her from is she did voice a character in Dragon Ball Z, but not a main character.
Wait, who did she voice?
Vital, or however the hell you pronounce her name.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who that is.
That's Gohan's, what's it called? Girlfriend, eventual wife.
Gohan?
Yeah.
Hey, he knows way more about Dragon Ball than I do.
Is that what her name was?
Yeah. Mr. Satan's daughter.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Satan. Freaking Hulk Hogan himself.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same vein as you, John. Like, I'm thinking B. Like, realistically, I want to give it like an A, as like an A minus, because like it was one of those anime that got me like really hooked on anime, and I feel like that may be driving the bias a little bit.
But you know, I'm just saying, from the quality of the animation, like it's not anything show-stopping. You know, you gotta understand, this came out during Bebop.
I think it was good for its day.
This came out during Bebop, bro. Bebop set the bar, okay?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's a very different anime than Bebop, though.
Look at Trigun. Trigun came out during the same time as well, and it's way better as an animated series.
I still think it was, for back in its day, it was pretty good for what it was.
It's okay. That's what I'm saying. That's why I feel like it's more of a B than an A. Because I have to, like, the music was great. Phenomenal. I love the openings and ending songs. Every Heart by Boa, amazing song. I love Boa.
Even the OST was actually decent. Yeah.
The movies were really good. The animation quality, but I mean, you know, that's how it normally it is for a lot of, at least back in the day, for anime series. If they got movies like OVAs and stuff, there was more quality and effort put into those, because it sells, you know, because it's got to sell a one DVD box versus having a set. You know, people find it more hard pressed to be spending 20-40 bucks for a DVD than they would for a whole like season of a show.
Yeah. This is also when Sunrise as a studio was kind of at their peak.
Are you saying Sunrise the Netsu is not at its peak right now?
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens when the new Akira series drops, John.
Is there a new one? What?
Yeah,
They're working on a full adaptation of the Akira manga, yes.
Oh, so we'll finally get the second half of the story.
Yes, which is where the story really goes balls to the wall.
As long as they keep the iconic slide, I don't really care about anything else. I want them to bring back the original voice actors for the English. Kaneda! Akira!
And also, to answer your question, John, no, I don't think they've been on their A game since Love Live came out, so fuck you.
I don't know, bro. They've been really successful with Love Live.
I'm just saying, Love Live came out and the studio went straight down the toilet. Coincidence? I think not.
What a hater. I hate Love Live so fucking much. Ranking Inuyasha at B. Let's get over. Let's get this over.
All right. I'll do it. But I'll say it's a high B. B plus.
All right.
All right. That's it. Those are the.
Oh, hold on a moment. No, they made Iron-Blooded Orphans. Fuck off. They recovered.
Okay.
Yeah, Sunrise made Gundam, bro. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay, listen. Even people in the worst slumps of their life have moments of greatness.
Oh my god, this guy's just a hater. All right, we're done.
You know what I'm saying is Love Live sucks, and if you like it, you should hate yourself.
Yeah, I don't condone that, but you know what breaks my heart? My favorite series on this list is the lowest ranked.
It hurts. CL Overlord. I'm surprised that nothing got the wrath of the D tier this time.
Because what we picked wasn't complete utter garbage.
It's the worst, because this is like, this is what we consider peak isekai anime, and it's like, oh,
I'm gonna do a reverse list of ranking the worst.
No, honorable D tier isekai Smartphone.
No, not even honorable, bro. That's dishonorable mention. Dishonorable mention.
That's rank E right there.
That's rank F, bro. We're straight past E.
Rank Z.
No, that sounds cool.
Z is cool. Rank Z is cool.
Okay. It just reminds me of when people were asking Pecker about her cup size, and she just goes, Z cup. Anyway, let's put us back here. So that's going to be our list of our top five isekai ranked. Let us know down below what you thought of our rankings and how shit they were, because I'm sure you will all have wonderful opinions about that.
How dare we rank anything lower than S tier of your favorite show? We're so sorry.
Yeah, we're so sorry about that. We're so, so, so sorry.
We were paid by anime studios to rank them.
We weren't.
I was paid by Sunrise to tank this entire list. I don't know what you were talking about. The refs were paying me under the table there. Also, check down below. Like, comment, subscribe if you like what you saw and you do want to see more. It really, really does help us out. Also, don't forget to check down below where you can find links to Anime Club After Dark on Twitter, TikTok, Discord. We're on Blue Sky now, all that good stuff. We also have a merch store link down below where you can get things like this brand new collared ACAD shirt that I'm wearing.
Wow,
it's very
so
nice.
Professional.
Represent.
Yeah. I wanted a new collared shirt, and I thought, well, I can make one on our merch store and have our logo on it. And so I did. And now you can all have one, too. And it comes in like four or five different colors you can get it in, including black. But anyway, with that, I have been your host, Alex, and we will see you next time. Say goodnight, guys.
Bye.
Watch Isekai Oji-san. Really good.
Seriously, dude. It's up to the fans of the series to promote it because no one else is going to fucking promote it.
I need a season Netflix. Two so bad.
Netflix sure won't. God, why does everything Netflix touches dies?
Yeah, I know. Bro, I know.
And we're out.